It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The economic recovery is gaining steam, and it's being fueled by consumers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, the latest gross domestic product numbers are out, but will it be enough to grow the U.S. out of debt? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow is up 14 points at 12,004. We're just above that 12,000 mark. The S&P 500 up about 0.1%. Sarah Lee, maker of everything from ballpark hot dogs to packaged pastries, is the latest company to announce plans to split into two. One company for its North American food business. The other will focus on international beverages and baked goods. Now let's get to the latest figures on economic growth. The government said this morning that the U.S. economy grew 3.2% last quarter. That's up a bit from the previous quarter. Economists are attributing the pickup to strong consumer spending and to overseas sales by U.S. companies. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial, and he joins us now live as he does every Friday. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So what do you make of this GDP figure, 3.2% growth?
Well, 3.2% is solid. It was anchored by a 4% rise in consumption, which is really good. But I tell you, one of the most exciting things about the GDP report for me was a fairly substantial drawdown in inventories. The reason economists like to see that is it implies stronger growth going forward. I think we're going to see some upward revisions to expectations, too.
All right. Well, Chris, some economists have said that if we can grow fast enough, if this economy can grow fast enough, we might be able to grow ourselves out of some of the debt we have as a nation. Listen to what Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said earlier today in Davos, Switzerland.
I would say the political will is not fully manifest yet at the moment, but but it's coming. There's no alternative to it. There's no way to avoid it. We can't grow our way out of it.
We can't grow our way out of it. Chris, what do you think of that?
Wow. We have to grow our way out of it. And I think in a way we are. But I think what he meant to say was the government can't necessarily provide that growth. So it's a good thing we're starting to see the private sector kick in, because it is time to start taking the deficit seriously. Japan's debt was just downgraded by S&P, and Moody's used that to warn about the U.S.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
To Egypt now, where tens of thousands of anti-government protesters hit the streets of Cairo today. Police fired rubber bullets and tear gas to tamp down the protest, but the government is saving its real ammunition for the nation's communications network. There are reports that the internet has been shut down in Egypt and mobile phone networks as well. Caroline McCarthy is a tech reporter for CNET.com, and she joins me now here in our New York studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you make of what's going on over in Egypt?
I think what's really interesting is that with all of these crackdowns on technology and new media communications, it shows that the top priority of a threatened autocratic government now is not necessarily to crack down on the mass media, on television and newspapers, but to crack down on this new kind of social media and digital communications where millions of people can connect with each other.
To crack down on mobile phones and on internet, how is it possible technically to shut down the internet in a country?
Well, it absolutely is technically possible. There actually has been some talk on Capitol Hill over whether the U.S. should have a quote-unquote kill switch in the event of, for example, a cyber terrorist attack. In other countries, that kill switch exists, and it's very possible for internet access to be shut off.
What about mobile phones? I mean, you can't just turn off all mobile phones. You have to go to the companies, right?
Right. Mobile phones are a little more complicated. One carrier, Vodafone, has said that the Egyptian government has asked them to turn off service.
Right.
And legally, the government does have a right to do that because Vodafone and other carriers agreed to that when they entered the Egyptian market.
And Vodafone and other carriers are not worried about how that might look in other markets?
Well, the truth is that telecommunications and access companies make these agreements all the time. Egypt has 80 million residents. It's a big market for a cell phone company. And they agree to these terms when they go into these countries. For example, at first, Apple was going to have to manufacture iPhones without the GPS chip to sell them in Egypt. Ultimately, that didn't work out that way, and Apple was able to sell them with the chip. But they do make these agreements.
Caroline McCarthy, tech reporter with CNET.com. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
It's a fiesta, a Ford fiesta. Ford today announced it made more money last year than any year since 1999. We know Detroit is doing better these days, but what's surprising about Ford's news is where the company's profits are focused. Alisa Roth covers the auto industry for Marketplace, and here's her report.
The main reason Ford is doing so well is pretty obvious. People are buying cars again. Almost 20% more Fords last year, almost 30% more of the F-Series pickup trucks. Some companies, like GM, are making a killing in emerging markets. Brazil, India, China. Ford is still trying to figure out what to do there. But it doesn't seem to matter much. Bob Schultz follows cars at Standard & Poor's. He says for Ford, it's all about the market at home.
The overall performance is really a North American story as they have gotten the cost down and have gained share in the sales and the market have recovered.
Like other car makers, Ford has gotten costs down by using fewer workers and earning more on every vehicle it sells. Schultz says he thinks Ford sales will keep going up in both 2011 and 2012, but that the growth won't be quite as dramatic as it was last year. I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, a tennis match tomorrow at the Australian Open will be a first. It'll be the first time a player from China competes in a Grand Slam singles final. 28-year-old Li Na has become a sensation in China. She was asked what motivated her to get through one of the sets that got her to tomorrow's match. Her answer? Prize money. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A lot of banks offer pretty much the same product. So how does a smaller bank compete? Well, how about free lattes and Wi-Fi and goods from local stores?
What we want our people to think is, I'm going to go to the bank store and browse, shop. And by the way, while I'm there, I might cash a check and make a deposit.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, a bank where everybody knows your name. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the numbers from Wall Street for you as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.